So if you've made a decision this week, I want to encourage you to do something. A lot of times what will happen is that when we get back home and we get busy, we may forget about the decisions that we made. And these are so important. And during this week, you are in what's called a concentrated time where you're listening to the Word of God each morning, each night. And not only that, you're memorizing Scripture, you're exposing your heart to the Word of God, and you are making some tremendous decisions. Some of you out in the sun are also getting more tanned. You're going to go home at the end of the week, your folks are going to recognize you, you'll have this nice tan. But you know what happens? Eventually a tan goes away. Now listen carefully. Just because it goes away, does that mean it wasn't a real tan? Hello? No. A tan happens to go away when you're indoors. But when you're exposed to the sun a lot, you get tanned. When you're exposed to the Word of God a lot, you have more of a tendency to develop spiritually and to make spiritual decisions and to make right choices. By the way, that doesn't mean those choices were not real. It does not mean that they were not genuine. They were real choices. Now, if you want to continue to walk with God when you go home, then you need to continue to expose your heart to the things of God and to the Word of God, to the preaching of God's Word, the teaching of God's Word. Now, so that you'll remember the decisions that you have made, I want to encourage you to do this week if you haven't done so already. In your Bible, usually in the Bible, there are a few blank pages either at the beginning or at the end. I would like for you, when you get a chance, to think about the decisions you've made this week and to write down on one of those blank pages the date of the decision and the decision you made. For example, some of you trusted Christ on Monday. Monday was June 25th. And you would write, June 25th, 2001, at Camp Ironwood, I received Christ as my personal Savior. Some of you on Tuesday night made the decision to present your body to God as a living sacrifice. So what you would do is you would write, June the 26th, 2001, presented my body to God as a living sacrifice. Some of you made a decision last night to devote yourself to glorifying God. You said, boy, if that's the purpose God made me for, I want to fulfill that purpose. You put, June 27th, 2001, decision to glorify God with my life. I would encourage you also to do this. Maybe God had spoken to your heart through a particular message, or maybe through a particular lesson. The tapes here at Ironwood are not very expensive. You ought to get the tape where you made a very special decision and be reminded of the decision you made as you listen to that tape. You could take part of camp home with you. You could take the service home with you or services home with you and listen to the tape. And God would remind you and reinforce in your heart the decision that you made. Now, we're in 2 Peter, and I want to talk to you this morning out of a brief lesson called Just Add Water. Now, you've made Kool-Aid before, right? Anybody in here made Kool-Aid? All right, good stuff, right? Now, they have two kinds of mix. They have one mix where you don't have to add sugar because there's already a sweetener in it. They have another mix where you better add sugar or it is going to taste absolutely vile. Alright, so you have two kinds of mixes. Now, the one with sugar, all you do is add water. You pour the contents of the package into the pitcher, you add water and some ice, stir it up, and boy, it tastes good. The other one, you have to add sugar and water. I mean, Kool-Aid provides the mix, but you have to add the sugar in just the right amount, and you have to add the water in just the right amount. How many of you have ever had Nestle's Quick? Oh, now the best way to have Nestle's Quick is by the spoonful right out of the container, right? Oh, that's good stuff. What are you talking about? Oh, man. See, other people, they mix it with milk. No, you get a big old spoon, put it in that Nestle's container, put that big old spoon in your mouth, just don't breathe, the powder will make you choke, and then you'll cough and you'll spray Nestle's Quick powder all over the kitchen. Oh, it's delicious that way. Well, I remember one day my mom and dad were gone, and my sister and I, we remember doing this a little bit earlier, getting a spoonful of that Nestle's Quick stuff, and we didn't have any of that, but we did have some stuff called Hershey's Chocolate. It's an unsweetened chocolate powder, and it smells just like Nestle's Quick, but it's totally unsweetened. So I got the biggest spoon I could find, and I got the biggest heap out of that, and I put that in my mouth, and I almost died. It was so bitter and disgusting. It was awful because it didn't have any sugar in it. It was awful tasting. And my sister was watching to see my reaction, and I tried not to react because I wanted her to experience the exact same thing I was experiencing. But it was just terrible. Oh, it was, even today, it's just disgusting to think about. When you come to the Word of God, when it comes to spiritual growth, God has done His part. He's given you the package. Now there's something you and I need to bring to that package to have a good quality spiritual life. I touched on this yesterday, but if you're taking notes, write this down real quickly. Here are the three things that God brings to the package. Number one is power. God gives us the power to live the Christian life. He gives us the power to grow. The second thing God gives us, in addition to power, are the promises of His Word. And you'll find this in the book of 2 Peter in the first few verses. He gives us the power, and He gives us the promises from God's Word. All right, so power, that is the energy, the might to live the spiritual life. Secondly, promises on which to base our spiritual life. Power, promises, and here's the third thing. And this is absolutely incredible. And I don't know quite how it all works, but I sure am enjoying experiencing it, even to the limited degree that I am. But here it is. He also makes us a partaker of His nature. That is, that He makes us a sharer in His nature. That is, when we got saved, God took His nature and put it in us. Now, that didn't lessen God at all. It's not like He gave us a part of His nature and put it in us, and then He had less of His nature. But in some way, He gave us, He imparted to us His nature. So that if you're saved, God lives in you. That's what God did so we could grow. We're partakers of His nature. He gives us power, promises, and makes us partakers of His nature. Now there's something we must do if we're going to grow. And again, we touched on this yesterday, but I want to develop it just a little bit more fully. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, and beginning in verse 5, here's what the Bible says. And beside this, that is, in addition to what God has done, now you have a responsibility in your spiritual growth. You need to take something that you have and bring it over to what God has done in order to grow spiritually. If you and I don't do this, you and I have nobody to blame but us if we don't grow spiritually. And you know, I'm a little concerned about this these days. You know what I'm finding, and just if you can, just for the next few moments, listen on purpose because this will help you. And some of the younger students may not understand this. But you know, sometimes we look at Christianity like we look at cereal. You know, when you ate cereal this morning, what you did is you looked at the boxes and you said, "Oh, Cocoa Puffs!" And you said, "Awesome, Cocoa Puffs! All right, I love Cocoa Puffs!" And so you got yourself some Cocoa Puffs. Or maybe it was Golden Grahams. Oh, yes, Golden Grahams! And you got those Golden Grahams. Or Fruit Loops, or whatever it was. And somebody said, "Here, try some Raisin Bran." I said, "Well, Raisin Bran, no, been there, done that. Blech. Give me the Sugar Crispy things, man. I want those." Now, some people do the same thing with their Christian life. You see, God's done all these things, but here's what happens. If they don't bring to what God has done, if they don't bring the things we're going to see this morning, they don't grow. And what happens is the person that doesn't grow does not have joy in their Christian life. The person who does not grow is not satisfied in their Christian life. And so later on what happens is they have a tendency to walk away from their Christian life. And they say about the Christianity like they say about Raisin Bran. "Oh no, been there, tried it. It didn't work for me." It's because they did not bring to their Christian life what God says they're supposed to bring. Very important. For those of you taking notes, that's called the marketing mentality versus the product mentality. Very good. All right. Now, we'll expect you to explain that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Here's what it says. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. All right? Now, with everything God has done, here's what you need to bring to your Christian life first. Diligence. By the way, this will be easy because all these words start with D. Diligence. Now, the Bible says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your Christian life, or add to your faith. Beside all this, give all diligence. Listen very, very carefully. You see that word A-L-L there? All. It's just before the word diligence. Now, we think sometimes that what that means is that I'm not supposed to give half diligence, but I'm supposed to give entire diligence in adding to my faith. I want you to notice something very quickly. The word all actually speaks of what it is we're supposed to be diligent in. And I realize just now most of you just went to lunch, even though we just had breakfast. But let me explain this. You know what Peter's saying? He's saying that in every aspect of our Christian life, we are to give diligence. It's not that we're to give all diligence, it's we're to give to all diligence. That word diligence speaks of a zeal, of an enthusiasm, of a joy. And it's talking about how that in every aspect of our Christian life, we're to give it zeal and diligence. Now, some people say, well, you know, I read the Bible, but I'm not a great prayer warrior. You're to give prayer the same diligence you give to Bible reading. So he says, well, I'm a good Bible reader, and I go to church. I'm not a real good soul winner. That's not my thing. Every aspect of the Christian life is to have our diligence. Give to all diligence. Now, let me tell you where this is. How many of y'all go to children's church on Sunday morning? I think you may put your hands down. In children's church, we would sing a lot of songs. And the reason why is because we would have children come in, some of them off the buses, some of them with mom and dad, and their mind wasn't on spiritual things. So we'd sing the songs to try to get the kids' minds on spiritual things. Now that's not a bad idea, but listen very carefully. Did you know that in heaven we'll be singing? Why do you think we're singing in heaven? Is it because in heaven our mind isn't on spiritual things? And so the angels who lead the singing, if angels lead the singing, say, boy, you know, these creatures, we got to get their mind on spiritual things, so let's sing. No, that's not why we sing in heaven. We sing in heaven because our hearts are so filled with praise to God that we sing to give vent to that. Our hearts are so filled with praise that it is an expression of our praise. Nowhere in the Bible do we find that we're supposed to sing to try to get in the mood to worship God. Instead, what we find is we're to live in a worshipful mood. We're to live in a way that praises God so that when we get together to sing, we can't keep it in our hearts. We just have to let it out. And we have to praise God. Singing is not designed to get us in the mood to praise. Singing is designed to give us the opportunity to express what's already in our hearts. But because we do not give all diligence, we use singing to get us in the mood to worship instead of giving us an opportunity to worship based on what's already in our hearts. Give to all diligence. Beside this, give all diligence. Oh, did you just look at your watch? You did? Did you see what time it is? Okay. Everybody's 5 after right now. All right. Anybody else look at their watch after? I have 5 more minutes of the message. I'm kidding. All right. Diligence. Here's the next thing. It says, beside all this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, we talked about virtue last night. Virtue is when we do what it is we're created to do. That's virtue. And we call this next point development. Not only are we to add to give to every area of our life, Christian life, diligence, but then we're supposed to develop. Diligence, development. Diligence, development. Remember, God's done His part. God's given us power. He's given us provision. He's made us partakers of His Spirit. Now you and I need to bring something to that. We need to bring diligence, zeal, intensity. How many of you have a hobby? Anybody have a hobby? Now, I'm going to ask you what your hobby is. So keep your hand up. Let's see. What's your hobby? What's your hobby? What's your hobby? Flying what? Flying planes? Like fun. What a cool hobby. What's your hobby? Soccer. That's a great hobby. What's your hobby? Game Boy. Yeah, Game Boy. That's a fun hobby. What's your hobby? Making paper airplanes and flying them? All right. How about on the back row by the counselor? Your hobby is in the white shirt with your hand up. Yes. Yes. Oh, that's a fun hobby. How about right back there next to Mr. Chad? Baseball. How about you next to the guy next to Mr. Chad? All right, you may put your hands down. Now, see, you have these hobbies. And it, actually what happens is that these hobbies require some diligence and some zeal and some attention. I think, you know, baseball and gymnastics and those kinds of things, it requires attention. It requires intensity. It's not something you just dabble in. Well, folks, Christianity is not just something we dabble in. It requires intensity at times, a conscious effort at times. It requires energy at times. Diligence is the word for all of that. Diligence and then development. Add to your faith virtue. You've already trusted Christ as your Savior. Amen. That's wonderful. Now, get busy doing the very thing God created you to do. That's virtue. He goes on and says, and to virtue, knowledge. Keep growing. Keep in your Bible. You may need to make a spiritual decision that says, I'm going to have daily devotions. I'm going to be in God's Word daily. Now be careful. Don't get in over your head by saying this. I'm going to read my Bible for 1 hour every day. That'll last maybe a day. Start off with small steps. I mean, when my children were learning to walk, they weren't out running a marathon. They were standing up, falling, standing up, falling, standing up, falling, standing up, stepping, falling. All right, so they took little steps first. Man, just make it a point to maybe read 5 verses a day and find out what God wants to say to you through those verses. Or a chapter a day. Find out what God wants to say to you through that chapter. And the same thing with prayer. Add to your faith knowledge. Add to your virtue knowledge. Here's the next thing. And to knowledge, temperance. You know what temperance is? Temperance is a word that means self-control. Now, if a person is easily angered, that is a person that does not have temperance. If there's a person that easily loses control, that is a person that doesn't have temperance. And so God wants us to develop temperance, self-control. Here's the next thing in development. And to temperance, patience. To self-control, to temperance, add patience. You know why some of us get so angry sometimes? It's because we're not very patient. Now that word patience comes from 2 words. You've seen the horses up here at the horse area. You see the horses up there with the saddles on them and the riders for the trail ride. Those are examples of patience because the word patience comes from 2 words, hupomeno, which means to abide under. In other words, what we're going to do is as God piles circumstances on us, we're not going to panic. We're not going to buck. We're not going to bolt. We're going to abide under those circumstances and take them patiently. Add to your temperance patience. Notice what else it says here. Verse 6 at the end. And to patience, godliness. And that word godliness speaks of a characteristic of our lives, of a quality of our lives that, as this word implies, reflects a godlike character. Here's what else it says. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Ooh, well, that's something. Hey, you're living with maybe 8 to 10 other people this whole week in a cabin, and it's a good opportunity to test to see whether or not you have brotherly kindness. And then he says, and to brotherly kindness, charity. All right, now, he says if these things be in you and abound, if these things are developing in you, then here's the next thing. You're going to find that you are able to then, here's the third thing, duplicate yourself. He says in verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. One of the things that God wants to do is duplicate in you fruit. And as he does that in your life, he wants to do it also in the lives of others. Folks, God's put in a package everything that you need to grow, but you do need to bring something to it. Anybody ever get a package of sea monkeys? Man, did you? Did you grow them? Aren't they weird looking? They're kind of weird. You know what sea monkeys are? They're basically what are called brine shrimp. And you get a little package of them. rattle it around, sounds like flower seeds. And you get some water, and you pour this package in there, and these things are actually living creatures. And they're just very tiny, tiny, tiny shrimp, and you can see them grow, and they're tiny, tiny, tiny shrimp. Now, as long as they're in that package, they're not growing. As long as they're there, they're not growing. You got to put them in the water. Folks, God's given you His power. He's given you promises. He's made you a partaker of His nature. But unless you and I, just as the Bible says, give diligence, as you and I develop and allow God to develop us and bring the willingness to develop, and as long as you and I are willing to let God duplicate in us Himself and through us fruit in others, then we're not going to grow and we're going to be miserable. Now, you know, I've talked to you as Christians this morning. Some of you still need to make the decision to trust Christ. And I want to encourage you, don't put that decision off. Oh, I talked to your counselor today. Because some of you may wind up like this guy I read about on the East Hills of Scotland, from far away. His job every morning was to go out early in the morning along the cliffs that overlooked the seashore. And he would lower himself down by a rope. And inside these cliffs, right along the cliff wall, were these pockets that were sort of dug out by weather and time. And there were birds that would nest in those caves. His job was to lower himself by a rope, swing into the caves, and to gather the eggs of these birds. He would gather these eggs, put them in the pouch behind him, and lower himself down to the next hill, or to the next cave, swing in, grab the eggs, put them in the back of his sack in the back, and swing down. And that was his job. And he'd swing over to another cave, etc. On one particular day, he had come down over the side of the cliff and went into a cave, went to reach for the eggs, and as he did, he let go of the rope. Well, now, this would be a dilemma. Because that rope began to swing out over the crashing waves that were down below, and he was a good height up. And really, there's no way to climb out of this thing, this cave. There's no way to climb out. There's no way to climb up. No way to climb down. The only way to get out of that thing is that rope. And if he doesn't get the rope, people aren't going to know, you know, for quite some time where he is. And so in order to not be stuck there, as that rope came back, he dropped the eggs back into the nest and he realized, as that rope came back, he only had one chance to get it. And to miss that chance meant to be stuck in that cave. And so as that rope came back, he stood right on the edge of that cave, and as the rope came back with everything that was in him, he jumped and he grabbed that rope and was able to then take himself to safety. Now for some of you, the rope of the gospel is swinging in your direction. And it may be your last chance. And if you don't latch onto it by faith now,